On the subject, the perfect ship. The perfect ship. I'm glad the Lord one day sent a ship by. A mercy ship. And I got on board at Nebo Baptist Church, and I'm safe in that ship this morning. I'm glad I'm in. I'm glad I belong to Him. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read you about the perfect ship in the Bible. And this picture of the ship that you and I are in, the Lord Jesus Christ, of salvation. Genesis chapter number 6. Appreciate all the men that worked yesterday, and ladies too. Had a good turnout for work yesterday and this past week. If you count all of our bus workers and all of our people's working at the camp and all the folks that's working out here yesterday, there's a lot of folks working for the Lord down just for the church yesterday, and I appreciate that. I want you to know, especially you guys that slaved out there all day at the camp, I appreciate that. Lord bless you for it. And the Lord will bless you for it. You don't have to worry about that. Genesis 6:14. Now, this is a wicked time of the year, or time of the earth here that God had made. He was sick and tired of it, and He decided He'd wipe it out with a flood. And He told Noah in Genesis 6:14, "Make thee an ark. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without." With pitch. Pitch being like tar, like stuff they put on a roof to keep it from leaking. Inside and outside, God told him. Now, I'd like to preach to you this morning on the perfect ship. The only unsinkable ship that was ever built was Noah's Ark. There are three arks mentioned in Scripture. A lot of people don't realize it, but there is. Of course, Noah's Ark here. And Moses, the ark that his mama put him in, that little one, set him in the water. And then, of course, Moses and the children of Israel in the Ark of the Covenant that was carried with the children of Israel as they moved from place to place 40 years in the desert. Don't ever get those three confused. One fellow that was trying to get saved one time, he didn't know a lot about the Bible, but he knew a little bit about it. And he said, "Now, I'll tell you one thing. You about got me convinced that Noah built that big ark." He said, I can handle that. I guess I can believe that in the worldwide flood. But he said, I have a hard time believing they carried that thing around in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's a perfect example of a guy knowing just enough Bible to mess him up. And a lot of people know just enough Scripture to damn their soul. I heard a fellow that had some kind of a TV special on the other day when I was in New Jersey, and I just saw part of it. It was an evolution creation debate. And what they were fussing about was some people wanted creation taught in the schools, and the other side wanted, no, just the evolution taught in the school. And that fellow said, he was some professor from somewhere, and he said, I can't accept the fact of a worldwide flood. He said, there's no evidence of it. He said, there is no evidence that there's ever been a worldwide flood. Now, I reckon he thought people just take his word for it because he's a professor at a university. Wonder how come they find them fish scales and fossils up on top of them mountains, people? How'd them fish fossils get up there on the highest mountain in the world? He went on to say, he said, there is no way that an ark that size that you could get 40 million species of animals in there. He said, that's ridiculous. Anybody who would believe that there's 40 million species of animals and there's no way that they could have got a representative from all of that. And I thought, you know, there's no telling how many people that are sitting at home saying, yeah, see there, he's a scientist, he's smart, the Bible's crazy, it's ridiculous, 40 million animals on a boat. Now, anybody that says that always has two problems. Number one, they don't know how big the ark was. Ask them. Ask them to tell you how big it was and see if they can tell you. They'll say, well, I don't know, but it wasn't big enough for 40 million animals. And the other thing they don't know is that the Bible didn't say that they'd take one of every species. God never told Noah to take one of every species on the ark. He said one of each what? Somebody tell me. Kind. One of each kind. All those different species split off from those kinds. Do you know every cat in the world came from six cats? You know all the dogs in the world came from six dogs? Did you know that on those 40 million so-called species of animals in the world, that 75% of them live in the water and didn't need to get on the boat? Did you know that the other 25% are about that big and little bitty insects and stuff, and there's just a few big animals, really, just a few. No problem. You better watch before you start shooting your mouth off and saying, the Bible's going to state when you don't know what you're talking about. God said, bring two of every kind. Now, let's talk about this perfect ship this morning. It's a picture of salvation that you and I are in this morning. The ark in the Bible is what we call a double type. Some people have a problem with things like that. But there are things in the Bible that are double types. That means it's a type of two different things. Picture of God preserving His children, Jewish children, people through the tribulation. It's also a picture of the ark of salvation that you and I are in this morning, got in when you got saved. Now, I've always been interested in the story of the Titanic. I don't know why. I read some in a book one time when I was up in Pennsylvania. And a preacher had a book on it, I believe it was. And I began to read about it, and I was fascinated by that. And if you've ever seen one of those documentaries, those movies they made about the Titanic, that thing was built in Ireland, I think at least part of it. And they said when that thing was built, they said it's an unsinkable ship. As a matter of fact, on its maiden voyage, somebody made a dumb statement. They should have never made that statement. When that thing took off, they said even God couldn't sink the Titanic. Oh boy, you should have never said that. You got to watch out for anybody who makes statements like that. They always go down, every time. Did you notice 2 years ago, you know when Charles Barkley was real hot stuff and everybody thought the Phoenix Sun was going to end the NBA championship? Basketball is the only sport I pay much attention to, so I remember that. And they was doing real good in the playoffs, and they interviewed old Charles Barkley, and he said, I know we're going to win the championship. And they said, how come? He said, God told me we was. I said, you're an idiot, too. He never told you nothing. I said, if God did tell you something, you couldn't hear it. All that pride and sin in between you and God. And he said, it's destiny, man. It's destiny. You know what happened? They went out and made a flop and lost. When Michael Jordan came back this year, people took him just a little bit too serious. They talked about the second coming. They said he's God. He's like God. Right then I thought, uh-oh, they've had it, and they got knocked out. Anytime anybody, you know what? When Belshazzar brought those holy vessels in, the handwriting come on the wall. When that guy, the king in the book of Acts, who come out and he went out like this, and he went, hi, folks, and they said, it is a God. It is a God. The Lord took care of him with some worms, just like that. When somebody gets to that point where they're saying, not even God can stop me, you better look out. They are on their way down. Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Anytime somebody starts thinking they're the greatest, look what happened to Muhammad Ali, old Cassius. Look what happened to Richard Pryor. You know what Richard Pryor said? He said, God, I'm going to set myself on fire. And he said, God said, no, you're not. And he said, I said, yes, I am. And God was really saying, you stupid idiot. But he couldn't hear in God. He was hearing the voice of a devil. I mean, it wasn't God. You better watch when somebody said, they said the Titanic can't sink. Well, the Lord took a little iceberg, and when that thing floated by one time, God never has to exert himself. One man was out one time in a thunderstorm and cussed God and shook his fist up at God and said, you can't do nothing. I dare you. You blankety blank and cussed God like that. And he went out and gathered up some wood, and a spider bit him. In a few minutes, he's dead. The Lord don't even have to exert himself. The Lord don't even have to move. He just said, hey, spider, bite him. Listen, buddy, he can take care of you anytime he wants to. He took a worm and knocked old Herod off. He can take anything, make your back hurt like Barclays does, or make him give you $25,000 wearing the wrong number, or he can do anything, man. Lord, he took an iceberg and opened up the side of the Titanic. They said it's just like you stuck a can opener in that thing and opened it down through there. It wasn't an unsinkable ship. But this one I'm talking about this morning was. I want to say several things about this ship this morning. And the first thing I want to say quickly is that it was designed by God. He was the great architect. He had it all the plans drew out. Now, when we built our building here, of course we built our building out there, we had an architect who drew the plans. Actually, we drew them first and gave them to him, and he just went over them and made them to scale. And the architect draws the plan. Then when the builders come in, unless you're doing it here, they build the building according to the architect's plans. And an architect does that. That's what an architect's job is. So God told Noah one day, he said, Noah, I'm sick and tired of it. He said, they're out here swapping wives. They're out here partying every week. They're out here doing all this stuff. He said, I've had it up to here. Make you an ark. And Noah said, how do you want me to make it? He said, make it out of gopher wood. That's like cypress. Make it good for building and will withstand water and weather and all of that. Now, he said, Noah, I want you to make this ark, according to the definition of a cubit, which we're not absolute certain of, 450 feet long. The Mayflower, by comparison, was 90 feet long. You could set the Mayflower in this church right here. But the ark of Noah was 450 feet long. This building we're sitting in this morning is 112 feet. That means it's 4.5 times nearly as long as this building. Not only that, God said, make it 75 feet wide, about the width of this auditorium here, 80 all the way back out of that back wall. So it'd be like this. It'd be like this here, 4.5 times this long. Not only that, God said, make it 45 feet tall. The height ceiling in here this morning is right at about 21.5 feet in here where we're at. So that would be over twice as high as this room and 4.5 times as long. That's a pretty good size boat. It was not made for sailing, so it was made like a box. It wasn't that like sharp on the end. He wasn't going nowhere. He just waiting on the water to get down. It was made for floating. And there was room for everybody who wanted to get on that ark. I believe that anybody who wanted to got on that thing could have got on that thing. The same is true of the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to say there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I don't care how bad your life messed up this morning, there's room at the cross for you. I don't care what kind of marriage problems you have this morning, there's room at the cross for you. I don't care what kind of sin you've been into. I meet people all the time and they'll say, "Preacher, you just don't know how bad I've been. I've been on drugs. I'm a prostitute, or maybe I've killed somebody, or I've taken a life. I've lived a low life. I've sinned a lot." I've got good news for you. There's room for you in Jesus. There's room at the cross for you. There's somebody that stands ready to take you in this morning. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I'm glad when I come to the Lord that night as an 18-year-old, the Lord didn't say, "Sorry, fool, we don't have any more room anymore." He said, "Come on in, son, there's room." Secondly, I want you to notice it was watertight. It was watertight, pitched within and without. No water could get in, no water could get out. They were absolutely safe inside that boat. There was not one drop of water could get through that thing and touch Noah. You know something? When Noah and his family got in that boat and that door was shut, they were absolutely sealed and protected from the judgment of God. The judgment of God was the water, the flood. It couldn't touch them. I'm glad that it's that way with us too this morning. You know, when I feel saved, I'm saved. And when I don't feel so saved, I'm saved anyway. When I'm on the mountaintop, I'm saved by the grace of God. And when I'm down and feel like everything's caving in on me, I'm still saved by the grace of God. You know what? I studied this thing about it last night and this morning. I thought maybe I might need to just give a little word of encouragement to you this morning. Listen, church. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, we're hitting the summer of 95. That's right. You say it's the most wicked time's ever been. That's probably right. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, seem like a lot of people are just low and discouraged." That's right. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, what are we going to do?" I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sail right on. Amen. Well, I tell you this morning, we're in the ship of Zion. We're in Jesus Christ. It's not by our own works we're kept. It's not by our own power we're kept. He's got us. We're in Him. We're safe from the judgment of God. We can shout hallelujah. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Whoopee, man. Because we're saved in Him. You say, "Well, I don't feel good." Saved anyway. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I'm down and out." You can shout anyway. "Without a doubt, I'm saved." I tell you what the book said. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." If them old wheels have ever turned inside you, brother, I'm telling you this morning, the fire may have flickered. It may seem like it's rusty. But brother, I'm telling you that God's Spirit and God's power is still on the inside of every child of God. And He'll churn in you again. You mark it down. Some of you young people, you know what your problem is? When the emotions are low, you want to go out and sin. Just say, ain't nothing to it. Just hang around. Hang around. The wind will blow. You're in the ark. You're in the ark. Still good to be saved, ain't it? The world ain't got nothing any better to offer us than being saved. I tell you, I was listening to youth choir sing the other day, and some of their kids up there, they picked up some of their songs and some of the songs from Allendale, and they were singing them up there, you know, and I got to getting a blessing. And I started thinking, man, isn't it something what God's done in the lives of these young people? And I began to think about stuff like the youth rally and how God, and you know, listen, none of us are big enough to keep this thing going. None of us. Sometimes I think, "Oh no, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that." And then I'll just sit back and say, "Lord, there ain't no way in the world I can help all these people. There ain't no way in the world. It's His church, it's His ship. He's the captain, He's flying it. I mean, all I do is just do my job and stay where I'm supposed to be with God. And brother, the whole ship of Zion, we'll sail on through." Let me tell you another thing about this ship that I read to you about in the Bible this morning. God was in this ship. God was in this ship. If you read this story and watched it, when the time for the flood came and it finally got down, see what God did? What God did, He seen all that sin going on. He said, "They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage." He said marriage vows meant nothing. And I'll be dealing with that again tonight. I forgot to announce it a minute ago, but I'll continue the series on marriage tonight. If you got any marriage problems, be here tonight. If you ain't got no marriage problems, you better be here tonight. You're just blind. And you need to be here tonight and hear that. But listen, God saw all of that, and God said, He said, I'm sick of it. He said, I'm tired of it. He said, I don't want to see it no more. See, there finally does come a time when God gets tired of looking at sin. Man, I tell you, they went to New York City the other day, and they took me downtown. I've been to the airport and seen like the Statue of Liberty and stuff like that, and big building and everything, but not actually down in the city. I've been to Los Angeles, I've been to Detroit, I've been to Chicago, I've been to Miami, and I've been to Dallas, and I've been to all the major cities, Atlanta and all of them, but I've never been right in the heart of New York. So I said, yeah, let's go. So me and the preacher went down there, and we went down there, and we went up the Empire State Building. And I said, I want to see where King Kong held on at. And I said, it's right. Looked like it's right in here somewhere. That thing still looks the same now as it did then, back in 1930 or whenever that was. And we went up in there, and you go to the 86th floor. And on the 86th floor, you get off. And they have a little observation tower. I don't know if any of you have been on it or not. It's 102 stories, but you look out off the 86th one. That's plenty high enough. After you get that high, 10 or 15 floors don't make a bit of difference. And we got out on that thing, and I thought, man, could you commit suicide off of this thing? And they got this thing built over here to keep you from jumping off. And I looked down, and all I could see is hear horns and sirens. And just it looks just like it on Superman. Little bitty cars going this way and that way and this way and that way. And buddy, I'll tell you what, I thought, my soul, God looks down. He sees every junkie in every apartment. You know, this part in New York City split up into Queens and Harlem and Staten Island, Brooklyn and Manhattan and all the boroughs that they call those. That's one city, man. I'm telling you what. Some places around in those in the Bronx where there's 75,000 people per square mile lives. That's near the Greasy Corner and over yonder near the Hook and Anchor, back up this way a square, 75,000 people. And I'm sitting there going, this ain't going to work. I mean, they do it all the time. I'm saying, this won't work. You can't put 75,000 people in a square mile. You know what they're going to do? They're going to kill each other. And that's exactly what's going on. He said there's old people that live in these apartments who never step out. They never come out. He said they live in there 12 months a year, have their food brought to them, and their only connection with the outside world is TV, and they just sit there waiting to die. Drugs are being passed. Hey, listen, in downtown, in the city, man, big billboards are up on the city with these guys in, with their swimming trunks on, and one's holding another, and he's kissing him right here on the chest. Two men on the billboard. And it says, dial 1-800-GAY-VACATION. I said, I am in the wrong place. He said, let's get something to eat. I was scared to touch anything. I ain't kidding you, man. I didn't want to eat a hamburger. Ugh. I said, it's everywhere. I mean, it's all nice places. Eat up with it. And I'm telling you, God sees that all the time. And He sees what's going on all over the place. And one day the Lord says, I've had it. And I want to tell you folks something. We're living off the mercy of God right now. Listen, if you're sitting in here this morning and you're not saved, or you're not right with God, listen, you're in trouble. You're on dangerous ground. I'd get saved this morning if I was you. I mean today. I mean like this service this morning. I wouldn't wait another day because one of these days we're going to hear what happened to Noah here. God said this. If you read the story, I said God was in it. God one day, He said, Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark. Notice, God did not say, Noah, go thou in the ark. God was in here saying, come thou in the ark. He said, I'm already in here waiting on you, Noah. Come on in. Now, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. He was in Jesus Christ pulling us to Him. When He walked by the shores of Galilee, that was God in Him pulling the world. When He gave sight to the blind, that was God in Christ. Noah didn't have to say, Lord, if I go in there, will you be with me? He was already in there waiting on Him. I'm glad He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I tell you, you know that song youth choir sung last Sunday night? I sung it in New York. I ain't kidding you. I was going down. I thought, boy, I believe I need to sing. And I was down there singing. I said, and with all my heart, I thank you, Lord. And I bow my head and say this little prayer. And with all my heart, I thank you, Lord. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I don't see how he stands it. But God was in that ark. Let me say number four. There was only one door. There was only one door to that ship. One door. You didn't go in that door? You didn't go in. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 said there is one name under heaven whereby men can be saved. The religions of the world think that there's many doors. I talked to, somebody I talked to the other day. He said, I'm Muslim. And there's lots of men. You don't know what them people up there are. They threw three different languages being spoke in a restaurant. You don't know what they are. You don't even know what they are, let alone what they are. And brother, I tell you what, this guy said, I'm a Muslim. And I said, but you got to accept Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, I believe in him. I said, well, you got to accept him as the only door to heaven. He said, well, it's all the same God. I want to tell you something this morning. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's not 15 doors into heaven, and one of them don't have Buddhism wrote on it, another one Muslim on it, and another one Hinduism on it, and another one Christianity on it. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. And God showed you that in the book of Genesis when he only put one door in that ark. Wonder what the building inspector thought about that. Noah would have had to shut her down. Architect said, one door. One door? What do you mean? What will you do in case of fire? The man who told me to put the one door will take care of that. He said, well, Noah said, I wouldn't say nothing if I was you. You better get in here and tell you the truth. He said, you're going to build an ark that big and only put one door in it? That's right. Now, why did God do that? God's trying to tell us something. God's trying to tell us something. You know, if the Lord hadn't been trying to tell us something, he'd have put a back door at least, or some way to get rid of all the trash or something. One door. That big old flying eagle flying around up there, you know what he had to do? He had to come down, go in that door. That turtle low down on the ground, you know what he had to do? Climb up, go in that same door. They all come in the same door. They're all equal. These highfalutin people. You know, there's a lot of people won't come to our church because I scream and holler and we get happy and praise the Lord. You sure are going to be miserable in heaven if you can't handle this a little bit down here. You know, you are weird. You're really weird. If you like a quiet church, there's something strange about you. I don't think I'd trust you. You don't read the Bible, that's for sure. You don't read your Bible very much. You don't read your dictionary. Look up the word preach sometime. Lady right up the street, we went to visit one time. And I said, why don't you come to church? She said, I want to ask you one question. Do you yell when you preach? That's like saying, do you move when you walk? Look it up in your dictionary, man. Look up the word. The word preach means proclaim strongly with a strong voice, a loud voice. The Bible defines it in Isaiah 58. Lift up thy voice like a what? Tell me. Trumpet. And show my people their transgressions. A trumpet doesn't sound like this. Had a little Yankee in that, didn't it? Picked up his voice. There's only one door. He said, I'm the door. Let me tell you number five. There's only one window. Lord put a window right on top of that thing. Who in the world? A sunroof. No windows to look out. Wasn't a sunroof, was it? Cloud roof. Rain roof. And he did that. So the only way they could look was up. And the world's gathering storms cannot make me afraid. I can shout without a doubt, I'm saved. There's a lot going on in this world around us. I thank God we can look up and say, without a doubt, I'm saved. And then number six, it contained enough food for everybody on board. Nobody starved to death on that ark. God's got enough for you too. Some of you are worried this morning saying, oh, preacher, how am I going to make it? I tell you, I'm getting weak. I just don't know if I can hang on. Summertime's here and it's getting wicked. Anyway, I thank God there's enough food for everyone on board. Hey, listen. When God invites you on a picnic, he's already got enough lunch packed. When God takes you on a trip, he's already got your ticket paid for. When God invites you over for dinner, there's enough food. When the Lord invites you to come and get saved, he's got enough to take care of you. Number seven. It was safe and sound when the flood was over. Somebody wrote, "All that I want is in Jesus. He satisfies, joy He supplies. Life would be worthless without Him. All things to the other side." And that is exactly what happened. When you're on the boat with Him, you're going to make it through by His grace. And one day when that water finally quit, the clouds rolled back, that thing settled down on top of Mount Ararat, they sent out that dove, you know, finally come back with a little olive leaf in its branch, in its beak. Noah stuck that head out and said, "Well, hallelujah, we made it." And they got to get out and populate the whole world that God gave him. And the Lord blessed him. He's in the perfect ship. I'm telling you this morning, the only safety there is in Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eyes closed this morning. What I'd like to ask you to do this morning is search your heart and ask yourself the question, are you in the ark of safety? And all that stuff I was talking about a minute ago about the world being so bad. Well, I'm telling you, brother, Jesus sees it all. The Lord sees it all. One of these days, real soon, He's coming back. I don't always do this, but I feel like I need to this morning. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you a question. The question is, do you know for a fact that you're in Jesus Christ? That you've been saved, you've accepted Him as your personal Savior, His blood has paid and atoned for your sins. Do you know that? Do you know that you've been saved by His grace? If you can say that this morning, say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, I know where I'm going when I die." Please just lift your hand just a minute and take it right back down. God bless you, God bless you. Don't lie, there ain't no use in lying. Just me and you look. Knows it this morning. God bless you. You can take them down. Hands all over the building this morning. There were some hands that could not go up. Maybe I saw you. Maybe I didn't. Can I ask you a question this morning, my friend? Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Jesus loves you enough to die for you on the cross. This could be the most important day of your life. If you'll just come and say, "God, I want to get in the ark." Just like Noah did. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He'll help you this morning. He'll save you by His grace if you'll come to Him. Heavenly Father, I pray for these that could not lift their hand. Let them realize, Lord, how dangerous they're living. Let them realize what trouble they're in. I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, that you'd touch that heart, that man, woman, boy, or girl, and give them a desire, get them pulled by the power of the Holy Ghost to come to Jesus. In His blessed name we pray, and for His sake, amen.